A Dangerous Method. Reading your review, I get the feeling you were very intrigued by it.
I'm a great fan of Carl Jung and have been for, 40 years or more. So I was really interested to see a film about him. In fact, there had been a film on Jung and Sabine Spielrein, A Soul Keeper, I think a couple of years ago was made in Italy with Amelia Fox as Sabine and Ian Glenn as Jung. This one is much better, covering more ground because it shows the friendship that Jung had with Sigmund Freud.
Professor Freud.
Dr. Jung, I've simply opened the door. It's for the young men like yourself to walk through it.
Their correspondence and then their meetings, and then their differing in their approaches to psychoanalysis, especially the role of religion and the role of sexuality in psychoanalysis. So there's quite a lot in it for those who are interested in those themes and in Jung and Freud and Sabine Spielrein.
Sex.
Male.
Family.
Child.
Divorce.
No.
So for anyone who really is interested in psychoanalysis and in its possibilities, it can also be a very informative film, right?
It can and it can't. One of the difficulties is it goes only for an hour and three quarters. And I presume, a lot of experts are saying, well, they didn't cover this, they didn't cover that, they didn't cover the other. But that's understandable in what is a feature film, basically for an intelligent entertainment. It can't cover everything. But I thought it expressed in the dialogue some of the core difficulties between Freud and Jung.
Why should we put so much effort into suppressing your most basic natural instincts? Never repress anything.
The playwright Christopher Hampton, wrote such things as Dangerous Liaisons and has directed a number of films as well as written plays, looked at the correspondence and some biographies of Jung, and he wrote a play called A Talking Cure. So psychoanalysis, in its origins as a talking cure for mental illness. Anyhow, the film is called A Dangerous Method, but he's grounded it, I think, in documentation and the letters, and some of the dialogue and the speeches are quite interesting, and the conversations and letters between Freud and Jung.
The audience actually finds itself sitting in to some therapy sessions, right?
Tell me about the first time you can remember being beaten by your father.
It excited me!
Right at the beginning, Sabine, who's played by Keira Knightley, and rather intriguingly, I thought, she comes to Jung and he treats her and he's able to help her. She wanted to be a psychotherapist, and in fact, after she's helped by Jung, she does, and then eventually goes back to Russia, where she practiced for 30 years.
And how is your little Russian patient?
There was the most dramatic improvement.
People say she's been partly written out of history, that she should be there in the contribution of the development of psychoanalysis. And she was killed, unfortunately. She was Jewish, and she was rounded up in Russia, 1941, and killed amongst many of the Jews who were killed at the time. That's mentioned in the postscript of the film. But what intrigued me, and I've always wondered, Freud was very much scientific method. Jung has often been dismissed by Freudians and others as not being scientific but mystical, because he was interested in further dimensions, the possibilities of the transcendent, his whole interest that he developed in archetypes. So he moves, in a sense, beyond strict scientific method. He also doesn't believe that sexuality is at the core of all human therapy, and he believes that there should be some acknowledgement of the mystical or prayer or experiences beyond, which Freud was not in agreement with, and that led to their disagreement. So that's all in the film, and I think it's put in such a way that you're ordinary audience who may not have known much about Freud and Jung, I think, will be able to understand something of what they contributed and how they fell out.
Sometimes you have to do something unforgivable just to be able to...
Well, you mentioned Christopher Hampton, who wrote the play on which it's based, but let's also say it's directed by David Cronenberg, who has a long list of important and very good films in his career.
He has. He started with some horror films. He's a Canadian. And in the 70s and into the 80s, quite a range of very strange... I haven't seen them lately. It'd be curious now in view of his career to have a look at them again. But during the 80s, he became recognised around the world and made a very interesting psychological thriller about twins with Jeremy Irons called Dead Ringers.
Yes.
He did a remake of The Fly. But in more recent years... he's done some very interesting dramas, like A History of Violence, and one that I like very much, although it's very grim, Eastern Promises. Those two also had Viggo Mortensen, who portrays Freud in this particular film. He obviously likes working with Cronenberg. So over, you know, 30 years, Cronenberg has become one of the most significant Canadian directors, I would think, and recognised, you know, in world cinema.
I remember his psychological drama Spider, if I'm not mistaken, with Rolf Fiennes, which was also very intense and interesting.
It was, yes, and London set. This one's set in Switzerland, where Jung came from, and Vienna, where Freud lived, is very beautiful to look at, whereas Spider had the dinginess of London. But just as an interesting sideline, perhaps he wasn't available, but the person who portrayed Jung on stage in the West End in London in Hampton's play was actually Ralph Fiennes. In the film, it's Michael Fassbender, who's in quite a lot of films these days in quite a variety of roles. This one is rather restrained in his manner, a proper Protestant gentleman, as Freud indicates. So they're very interesting performances from the two central characters, and... an added bonus, I think, with Keira Knightley.
Don't you think we ought to stop?
Do you want to stop?
You still love him?
Will you come back to me?